Shabbos, Perek Chaf, Mishnah Beis, 22. In the previous Mishnah, we had said that one may not use a strainer or a filter to filter his wine on Shabbos from the dregs at the bottom. Here we're going to say that there are certain very similar acts that one could do on Shabbos. The first is Nosnin Maim Agabi Hashemarim Bishvil Shiyitzalu. Barthel brings two separate pshatim, what this is referring to. The first is that the shemarim are those, the dregs, the lees at the bottom of the wine, and they end up in the masnenet, in that filter. So if one would pour additional water through those dregs left inside the filter, so he'd get sort of like wine-flavored water. And the Mishnah here is saying, according to the first shot in the Bartanura, that is permitted. So it's saying, Nosnin Mayim, you may pour water, Al Gabe Hashemarim, atop of those dregs sitting in the filter, Bishvil Shiyitzalu, so that those dregs get clear. They're cleared out, meaning cleared out of their remnant wine inside of them. The idea being that you're able to get, like I said before, this like wine-flavored water and get the very last drops out of the sediment. Now, the reason why you would think that is not allowed to be done is because it seems like you're running the water and wine through a filter, which we said you couldn't do. But here, the water is coming in essentially clear, going out clear. You're not filtering anything out of the water. And what's coming out of the other side is all of what you want. Nothing really is being left behind that you didn't want. So you're not really separating the bad from the good. It's water coming in, water going out. Now, it is true that the water is temporarily mixing with the sediment to make something that you might think is a mixture of sediment and water inside atop of the filter. And if you look at it like that, you might think it's now being separated out again. But the halacha is that if the way you're adding the water to the sediment is a way that it can never stay mixed because it's sitting on a porous filter, so that is not considered to be a tarovus, a mixture in the first place. So you're not undoing a mixture. The water's just passing on through and taking some flavor and a bit of wine with it. So that'll be okay. That's the first pshat in the Bar Tanura. The second pshat in the Bar Tanura is that the water is going on top of the stuff left at the bottom of the wine, those dregs, but those dregs aren't sitting inside a filter at all. They're sitting in the bottom of the wine barrel. So you poured out most of the wine, leaving the dregs at the bottom. Now you want to capture the last bit of flavor from those dregs, so you add water to the almost empty wine barrel, creating new, again, wine-flavored water. So there, that's going to be permitted to be done, according to the second shot in the Bar Tanura, and that shouldn't be a problem at all, of course, because there's no real brayer, no borer happening, not separating anything from anything else. But just be careful, lemaisa halacha, if you would be doing something like that. So you have to be careful when you pour out from the container that you don't use the edge or lip of the container to separate the solid still in the liquid from the liquid that comes out. That would be borer. So it's not our case exactly, but the same kind of thing. If you would have, for argument's sake, bits of lemon inside your water, so to pour out decant the water from the container and use the edge of the water container to hold back the bit of lemon from coming out with it, that would be borer, not allowed. So you can't do that similar action if you're according to the second pshat in the Bar Tanura. You wouldn't be able to do that when you're pouring out the wine-flavored water from the jug. That's the first case of what yes may be done, and two pshat from what we're talking about in the Bar Tanura. The second case of the Mishnah is that sheyim sanin es hayayin busudarin ubekfifa mitzras. You're allowed to strain out wine in rags, I'll call them, cloths, and also with kfifa mitzras, so something like, think of like a wicker basket. So the case here, according to the Bar Tanura, is that you have small white flakes that have emerged as precipitate in the wine. This is probably tartaric acid crystals, and they're really harmless, even in the 21st century. Although in America you don't like tartaric acid, and they usually do some kind of like, before they bottle the wine, they do some kind of a like cold separation of the wine. But in Europe, they look at it as a sign of that it shows that the wine was fermented slowly and the grapes left on the vine for a long time, and these tartaric acid crystals emerge from it. They're harmless, and because they're harmless and people don't really care about them, So when you're filtering them out, you're not really doing a significant act of filtration, since most people don't care about them. And that being the case, one is, yes, permitted to pour such wine through some kind of filter, because it's not really a significant separation, and what you're getting out is what you put in, just wine, and that's okay. Now, there's a side point here, which is, according to many, you wouldn't be able to use some kind of like cloth, the sudar, and a sudar is like a cloth, a kerchief, something like that. You wouldn't be able to use some kind of cloth as your filter for your wine if it wasn't miyuchad, designated as a wine filtration cloth. The reason why is because there could be a concern that you'll come to squeeze out the liquid from that cloth afterwards, and in so doing, to sort of clean it out, you'll be over the atol of malabin, of cleaning fabrics, of schit, of squeezing out the liquids. So according to many, if you're going to be using sudarin cloths, they have to be specifically cloths that are designated as the wine filtering cloths. Okay, and again, kfifa mitzras, some kind of like wicker basket that would catch those little white crystals on the way out. Fine. Next case is venosnen beitza b'masnenes shel chardal. You are permitted to add an egg to a filter that had been used to filter mustard. So bartender again gives two pshatim here. Oh, I'm sorry. The bartender gives one pshat. The bartender's pshat is that you've on Erev Shabbos you basically ran some mustard paste through a filter. And what's left behind inside the filter now is your mustard. That was done before Shabbos, that's fine. But that mustard left inside the filter you want, but it gets kind of like, I guess, blackened, dark, and sort of unsightly. And the custom was to add egg to that food at the bottom to make it more like lighter and clear and more palatable, more look nicer. So that's what you're yes doing here, and you're allowed to do that. According to Bartanura, the issue seems to be that even though when the egg mixes with the sediment at the bottom of the filter, the mustard sediment, so some mustard bits that you were trying to separate out now will effectively go through the filter, and so you've sort of done an additional filtration of the mustard, and that would be potentially borer. It's allowed because it's insignificant, you're not really intending for it, it's just what you're really doing is not for that, and the change is not significant anyway, so that's permitted. Most other Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch focuses not on the bits of mustard that might be now filtered better, but rather that the egg could be filtered. That is to say, if you run an egg through a filter that's like clogged up now with mustard bits, so then mustard seed pulp, so then the egg yolk is thinner and runnier and will pass through the filter, whereas the albumin, that egg white, is thicker and will stay atop in the clogged filter and not pass through. So essentially you've separated egg yolk from egg white. And the concern therefore is that might be a case of borer and disallowed, but the Mishnah is saying, according to those who shown them, that's not a problem because anyways, you're not separating och from psolus. You don't have an objection to either egg white or yolk. You want them both. It just happens to be separating because you're running through this filter and you're doing it for the purpose of coloring and making the mustard more palatable and not for separating egg at all. Okay, the last case of the Mishnah is va'osin inomlin b'Shabbos. You can make inomlin, or sometimes it's called in the Gemara, yenomlin, on Shabbos. This was a mixture of wine and honey and pepper together. You could think of it maybe as something like sangria. It's like a drink, a spicy wine drink. And the preparation was quite a big to-do, a lot of effort, and oftentimes was done in large quantities. So the concern is you might have thought this is like uvn dechol, you know, to do it on Shabbos because it's like a weekday activity. It's maybe tirchi asera. It's a lot of labor involved in setting up the whole process of making the drink. But the Tanakhama says it's not a problem. If you're making it for Shabbos, you can do it in any quantity. We're not concerned about it looking or being too much of an effort, and therefore you could do it. So that's the Tanakhama. You can make the inomlin on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'Shabbos b'kos. If you're making it on Shabbos, you're limited to doing it at one cup at a time worth of yenomlin. So it's a very small amount. Again, the idea here being we don't want it to be too laborious and too demanding on you. B'yom tov b'lagin. If you're doing it on yom tov, so then you can do it in a larger quantity and like a lagin, like a flask worth. So it's like a bottle of wine worth of stuff, a pitcher of it. That would be okay. And on b'moed and cholamoed, You can do even bechavis, even a large amount, a whole barrel for all the stuff. So he's much more lenient. Rabbi Tzadok Omer Hakol Lefi Arachin. Rabbi Tzadok says, no, it just depends on how many guests you have. You can make as much yenomlin as you need to feed all your guests. So the truth is that could be a chumra or a kula compared to Rabbi Yehuda, because if you have a lot of guests, you're allowed to make a lot, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If you have just a few guests, so let's say on Yom Tov, you can't make even a whole flask. You have to make just one cup at a time because you have, you know, one cup one for one guest, something like that. Okay, halach tek tana kama. So that means, yes, you're allowed to make inomlin on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berura says that you shouldn't go to the great efforts of mixing it thoroughly and making the recipe with all the bells and whistles, because that is a really a big job on Shabbos, and therefore considered to be tirchi asera, but to simply make the preparation by mixing the wine with the pepper and honey and getting the recipe just right, that is going to be okay in terms of the quantities and so on. And you could do that, yes, on Shabbos.